This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Towards the end of 2018, Malaysia's second internet exchange was launched, the Johor Bahru Internet Exchange, or JBIX for short, operated and privately funded by Extreme Broadband Sdn Bhd. But it's also the first internet exchange in Malaysia that welcomes peering between any types of organisation within Malaysia and abroad. And if you're wondering what does this all mean and, you know, what can this do for you and your business, well, today we have Wang Yu Wong, the Managing Director of Extreme Broadband, to break it down for us.
Hi, my name is Wang. I'm the Chief Peering Officer of Johor Bahru Internet Exchange. I handle the day-to-day peering activities for Johor Bahru Internet Exchange. Mm-hmm. I am also the Managing Director of the Extreme Broadband Group. Extreme Broadband is one of the licensed service providers in Malaysia. We have been around since 2005. 2.5 years ago, we started the Johor Bahru Internet Exchange in Manara MSC Cyberport in Johor Bahru. And then our aim is to improve the connectivities options for the businesses in Malaysia.
All right. So tell me a little bit about the company itself that started nearly about 15 years ago. How was the industry back then, as in the internet space back then, with the telco providers, the internet providers, and also businesses and users utilizing the internet? Because internet exchange is really, I guess, the forefront of the food chain when you look at into the you know, how internet is being distributed around you know, many of its users and business owners itself, right? So rewind back the clock to 15 years ago, and how was the industry back then?
Well, in year 2005, back in those days, the internet broadband as we know it today was actually connected using copper wire. So the technology that was prevalent during those days is known as the ADSL. I'm sure many people still remember the StreamMix. So those were the days where the 1 megabit per second is a norm for every household, if you are lucky. And then for mobile, during those days, it was the beginning of 3G. At that time, they have something they call it the 2.5G. So it was also the beginning of 3G. So during those days, the mobile internet coverage was quite spotty, and for most users, a 4 meg internet access is a very luxury items.
Yeah.
We have moved a long way since then. So looking back, I think the industry has developed quite a bit from there.
And what do you think was the being at the you know, being an owner of an internet exchange group here? What do you think was the reason why we shot to where we are now? Because, you know, 3G is, in a way, in 15 years, 3G is some ways fully matured. 4G is, you know, I guess at its peak, and there's obviously room to grow still. 5G is just around the corner, and all this in just 15 years.
It is indeed. But a lot of this is actually driven by, you know, the content players themselves. Because in these 15 years, if you wind back, you know, Facebook was at the beginning back then, and now is becoming one of the top the content website that people go to. So during these 15 years, a lot of change, and a lot of this is driven by both the content players and the end users themselves. And the smartphone has not been popular during then. The launch of iPhone actually revolutionized the smartphone business, and it has brought about the you know, the our current era of mobile internet access. Mm.
It's from luxury, smartphones and, you know, high speed internet access. So it was a luxury. Now it's I guess, you know, it's a necessity for many you know, users or businesses, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yes.
So let's explain a little bit about internet exchange. Mm-hmm. Because of your, you know, Johor Bahru Internet Exchange, which is Malaysia's second internet exchange. Perhaps for those who are not familiar with the internet food chain, where does the internet exchange sit in the food chain and what does it actually do?
Let me first of all explain how does the internet works. The internet, if you like, is actually a network of networks. So if you are using, if you are a Maxis mobile users, you can imagine that Maxis has its own networks, and I'm a DG user. So for Maxis users to connect to a DG users, the two networks have to be interconnected. If not, then you will essentially be on your own island. So for these two networks to be interconnected, they need to meet at certain place. So so at one end, you have what we call the eyeball carrier. So these are the internet service providers that carry the bulk of the internet users to connect to the content. And on the other end is the content providers. So these are the likes of Google, Facebook. They are the owners of the content. So on day in, day out, the eyeball carriers will have to bring the traffic from the eyeballs to reach the content players. So so how do they, these both types of internet providers, yeah, meet with each other? How do they interconnect? So the answer is they meet at the internet exchange. So the internet exchange, if you like, is an infrastructure or a switch that essentially connect both types of networks together. Mm-hmm. So the location of this internet exchange is very crucial because where you pick that connection, that where you meet together, it actually defines the cost for both parties, you know, to run their networks. Mm-hmm. So an analogy is like the airport, you know, in an airport where you have passengers transiting from, you know, one source of you know, travel to their destinations, and then you have the airline that are ferrying passengers from one place to another. So the airlines, they have to interconnect with one another at certain places. So and they meet each other at the airport. Mm-hmm. So if you can imagine that, if you can use that analogy, yeah, in Malaysia, there's only if there's only one airport, so all the passengers have to exchange in that particular airport. If you're in Penang, you want to go to you know, Kota Bharu, you have to travel to KL, exchange in KL. KLIA, before you can go to Kota Bharu.
Yeah.
So, but if let's say you have you know, an airport in Penang, and then you are able to transit over there, then your journey will be cut short. Mm-hmm. So the internet exchange, if you like, is something similar to that.
All right. So internet exchange in Johor Bahru, your JBIX, mm-hmm. is second in Malaysia, right? So you've launched this a few years back, mm-hmm. which is, I guess, in some ways it's crucial. But explain to me a little bit, because there's something unique about JBIX, and it's the peering network. Mm-hmm. So perhaps a definition on peering itself. What does it do, and what does it mean for businesses?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the peering is actually a terminology used in the connectivity business. So when two networks, they interconnect with one another, they exchange traffic with one another, we call that the peering. Now, in the internet era, peering typically do not come with a cost. So we call it the settlement-free peering. So meaning the two networks, they exchange traffic with one another, they don't charge one another. So now that these activities traditionally is conducted by the service providers. So with JBIX, we have started an open peering, meaning that we invite everybody who want to exchange traffic with one another to connect to the internet exchange, to connect to the JBIX, and then use JBIX to exchange traffic with one another. So we do not set a criteria on what types of businesses that you are, how much traffic that you have, before we allow you to come in to peer. Mm-hmm. So basically, we open it up to anybody, any businesses in Malaysia. As long as you have a need to exchange traffic, you are welcome to connect to the JBIX and exchange traffic with any participants within our internet exchange.
And what's the benefit here for organizations who maybe, you know, operate in the internet space in mm-hmm. one way or another? What's the benefit here in them doing this?
Well, the benefit is huge. If you can imagine this, if you're a business that rely heavily on the internet, okay, and today you are actually counting on your service providers, you know, to connect to the internet. So what happens if something happens with your service providers' networks? Then your businesses, your internet business will be impacted. Mm-hmm. So what we are offering to this kind of internet businesses is the opportunity for them to connect into the internet exchange and conduct their own peering, so you do not need to rely on your service, your internet service providers. So essentially, you can DIY your own connectivities. So you can choose who you want to interconnect with in the JBIX, and who you don't want to connect with in the JBIX. So we leave it to you to decide what sort of connectivities that you would like to DIY for yourself. Mm-hmm. So this is the new era of the new trend of connectivities, which is very popular outside Malaysia. Mm. But this is the first time that we bring about in Malaysia.
Mm. Do you think Malaysia is ready for this? Do we have enough players who would be able to tap into it and manage it on their own as well? Would they want to do something like this?
Based on what we have, the response that we have seen so far, I think we definitely have a lot of interest and a lot of businesses would like to embark onto this. So whether this is the right time, to be honest, Jeff, you know, we are too late for this, to be honest, because this is already you know, the new trend. This is the trend outside Malaysia. Mm. So we are late to to come into these peering activities for the mass public, really. Mm. So and we are very excited that you know, we actually started this 1.5 years ago, because we should have done it many years ago.
Mm. I'm speaking to Weng Yu Wong, the Managing Director for Extreme Broadband, and we'll continue in just a moment. BFM 89.9.
Beyond frivolous mishmash. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back, and today we're speaking to Weng Yu Wong, the Managing Director for Extreme Broadband. Weng, you started in around 2018 and you were targeting at about 50 participants by the year in 2019. And now that, you know, we're in year 2020, how's the progress coming along?
Very good. So far, we set our target at 50 participants by end of 2019. We have achieved 47. So we are quite close to our target, but we have, but because some of these organizations, they need to have more educations on how to DIY their connectivities and what is peering, and mm. many of them, they need to take time to get the approval. So we are, but you know, based on the interest, we definitely are seeing a lot more growth this year compared to last year. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the the public awareness of peering, definitely the public needs to have more understanding on what is peering and how does it add value to the existing connectivities plan.
Mm. Why Johor?
Oh, that's a very good question, Jeff. Now, remember just now I mentioned that the location where the service providers are interconnect with one another is very key. So why is that key? You think about that. Now, if let's say today the two networks have to interconnect in a location which is inconvenient for both sides, so everybody will have to put in infrastructures, lay the fiber to connect to a remote location in order to interconnect with one another. So it increased cost for everybody. So why Johor Bahru? The reason is because, number one, is vicinity to Singapore. As we know, Singapore is a regional hub, regional telecommunication hub. We have many submarine cables landing into Singapore. And we have, the OTT players building data centers, putting their content in Singapore. So Singapore inevitably becomes the internet hub of the regions.
Don't they have their own internet exchange in Singapore?
Well, they have four. Singapore itself, with 5 million populations, they have four internet exchanges. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Malaysia, I mean, previously we only have one. We are starting the second. So now, coming back to the questions, why Johor Bahru? So we believe that, the Johor Bahru, with its vicinity to Singapore's, is able to help us draw more content providers to put their content into Malaysian soil. By doing so, Malaysian service providers do not have to go down to Singapore to obtain the content. They can get the content in Malaysia soil, hence reducing the cost for everybody.
Now, you've also allowed customers to opt in for the dark fiber service. Now, explain a little bit on why is this actually, it could be very essential for these content providers.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Now, the content providers, if you like, you can imagine, so they put the content in Singapore. So Singapore is their data centers. But Singapore do not have the eyeballs. Singapore only have 5 million populations. Malaysia, we have 33 million. So this content have to be pushed to the eyeball northbound of Singapore. So for them to push the content northbound of Singapore, they have to cross the border between Malaysia and Singapore. And to the OTT players, this is a cost, because they have to buy connectivity coming up to Malaysia. And then once the content is brought into Malaysia, then they have to distribute to the eyeballs in Malaysia. So to many of them, cost is a concern. And many of them choose to stay in Singapore and wait for the eyeball players to bring the eyeball traffic to meet them in Singapore. Now, what we are offering to the OTT players is the options of connecting into Malaysia using dark fiber. Now, with the dark fiber opportunities, they are able to bring up any capacity that they wish to bring up coming into Malaysia. So given that options, they are able the OTT players are able to build a very, very scalable and cost-effective, we use the terms POP. So they can build a landing point, if you like, in Malaysia. And then they can use dark fiber to connect back to their data centers. And then they can bring up unlimited amount of capacity connecting back to their data centers. Mm. Now, given these options, they are able to, push traffic. They are able to distribute the content to the Malaysian internet users at a very, very cost-effective rate.
Mm. But cost is not something that you're advocating in why internet exchange is crucial for businesses to jump into, right? There are other benefits that you're mooting about for businesses to jump onto an internet exchange center. But yet, cost is something that I hear often in most of the reasons here.
Well, the advantage of the benefits that the internet exchange bring about has many foes. Cost being one of them for the established players who already have many presence in different internet exchanges. So they are always looking at cheaper way to distribute content to the eyeballs. But for businesses who have yet connected to the internet exchange, so the benefit of the internet exchange also includes allowing them to have a presence in the internet world. So, for example, you have e-commerce players. who is actually transacting businesses day in, day out, you know, with their end customers. So what we are helping, what the Internet Exchange can help them to do is they could obtain their own IP address, get their own AS number, and then they can come in to peer into the Internet Exchange. So so when the end users, when they do a reverse lookup at their name, they are able to see that this IP address belongs to that entity, which is which in a way helped them to authenticate themselves.
Mm.
So so what we can provide to the smaller internet businesses is to create an identity for them in the internet space.
Mm-hmm.
So and then using this identity, they can do direct peering with the IPO players, and then they can do their own DIY connectivities. They can choose who they want to connect to.
Mm.
So to many businesses, this is definitely something unique and something that can add value to their businesses.
Mm.
Because what's coming up next is all about managing the user experience.
Mm. Now, 5G is just around the corner, right?
Yep.
So, you talked about how, an internet exchange would help a lot of businesses to, I guess, speed things up in mm-hmm. reaching out to eyeballs and, cross networks and stuff like that. So, with 5G, though, it tends to apparently solve a lot of the pain points that we're having with 4G because it's deemed to be faster, zero mm-hmm. latency.
Yep.
What's the role of an internet exchange in the era of 5G?
Yeah. 5G, if you like, is going to expedite the requirement of an internet exchange. And let me tell you why. Now, 5G, in comparison to 4G, one of the biggest differences is the latency. With 4G, we are 4G has delivered a latency of about 40 milliseconds. And when I talk about latency, it means, from the minute that the packet leaves the user device until it arrives at the destinations, the delay is about 40 milliseconds. With 5G, so 40 milliseconds is for 4G. Now, with 5G, 5G has promised the latency to be cut down to 1 millisecond. So that's the 40-fold, reductions
mm.
in the latencies. Now, how is it able to achieve that without getting the content closer to the eyeballs? So in order for you to achieve this kind of a latency, you have to get the content much closer to the eyeball players. Now, the only way that you can achieve that is by putting the content as close to the eyeball as you can. And internet exchange is where you can it can help the service providers to reduce that latency. Imagine that, if you only served by one internet exchange in Malaysia, so from Sabah coming to Peninsular Malaysia, the latency is already 20 milliseconds. So how are you going to achieve the promise of 5G without having the content closer to the eyeballs?
Mm.
So the internet exchange is the infrastructures that will help 5G to speed up, and there's no other way that you can do it without having an internet exchange closer to the eyeballs, and you use the internet exchange to push the content to nearer to the eyeball users.
So with that in mind, though, what's the plans for exchange broadband and also for you guys in JBIX? Are you looking to expand then to grow even further, build more internet exchange?
For extreme broadbands and JBIX, definitely we are looking at these situations, and we want to be able to help the industry in providing a lower cost of connectivities to the mass public, and to be able to deliver what 5G has promised.
Mm-hmm.
So then definitely there are quite a few geographical locations where we feel that there is definitely a need for more internet exchanges in Malaysia. Mm. So we are exploring all the possibilities right now.
Mm. Weng, it's been a pleasure and also very educational because I've learned a lot about, you know, understanding a very basic question, just how does the internet work? So
yeah,
thank
exactly.
you so much.
Exactly. So many of these are actually something that that has been developed behind the scene, and not many people have the insights into what's happening, you know, behind the scene in the internet world. So I'm happy that I'm able to bring that to the to everybody's knowledge.
Yeah. Weng, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jeff.
That was Weng Yu Wong, the Managing Director for Extreme Broadband. And if you've missed any parts of this conversation, you can download the podcast now on the BFM website or the BFM app. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and this has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.